Ricochet Music.
Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, let us ransom people for God.
Hey.
From every tribe and language, people, every nation.
Hey.
Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
Lift your cup to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Talk Radio, and we have the Female Solution or studio open tonight as well. But I'm going to open the video or the computer for our friends in Montana. Let's see if this will add them to our stream. Peggy, well-known Buffalo, and is that who's that other lady with you? Can you hear me?
It's Susie.
Susie, hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can see you. Can you hear me okay? It seems to be a little delay there, but I'm... Yeah, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Wonderful. It is so wonderful to see you two ladies. How are you?
Good.
Wow, this is such a pleasure. And I miss you guys so much. Thank you for joining me this evening, especially on such short notice, because I think of what it was a couple of days or yesterday. I'm like, hey, can you be on the show today? And just called you all. And that is a beautiful blanket covering you, Peggy. Is that a blanket?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So tell me, ladies, how are you doing? And just give us a little introduction. There are some folks on Female Solution who may not even know you. Mama AZ has already pressed once. I know she wants to chime in soon. So why don't you, ladies, if you will, please give our audience a little introduction of who you are and what's going on and why you're in Montana and the Crow Nation.
I'm Peggy, well-known Buffalo, and I'm the executive director of the nonprofit organization called the Centerfold. And I'm here on the foothills of the Battle of the Bighorn. And I do a lot of giving and food and protecting the environment. And also be a part of the, or assisting of all the kind of issues we have here on the Crow Reservation.
And how long have you been there all your life?
I lived here all my life. I'm a member of the Crow Tribe, and I'm a Psalogast that way back were called Bibi Lugak, meaning I'm a person, I'm human, easy look up. So I speak my first language, which is Psalogat and Bilogat, and I also, English is my second language, and I also come from a clan system. Out of seven clans, I belong to the Bad Wordy clan. And I'm a child of the Tiyan clan. You're born into your mother's clan, and your father's clan are the ones who assist you through life in difficult times.
Now you were born. Where were you born exactly? In Montana?
Yeah, in Montana. Gary Crow Agency, Montana, the Crow Indian Reservation.
Okay. And you developed that land where I visited. You've been on that land for how long?
22 years.
22 years. Beautiful place. So, Susan, how did you and Peggy meet? And tell us a little bit about yourself, because you're like her right-hand woman to help.
That's right. My name is Susie Kelly, and I help Peggy with all the practical details of running an organization, including fundraising, publicity, all those kind of mainstream things while she does the community work. So I met her in 1999 through her son because I had a program to assist Native students with higher education. And it was just like a hobby. And her son was in my program, and therefore, I also was a photo editor at Time Life Books. And so I came out here and I met her. And she said to me, I want to do what you do, but I want to do it from the community level.
Yeah.
You helped me, and of course, how to do it. But I said yes, and 23 years later, we have built this community grassroots organization here that's quite unique. It's any tribal or government funds, all by individuals and like-minded organizations and foundations. And we're currently redesigning our whole infrastructure. We, in the beginning of our project here, we just sort of decided what we wanted to do and then tried to make it happen. And oftentimes one thing would be built and the other thing would be in pieces, and then we'd move on to something else. And it's kind of a mixture of all different kinds of people out there's desires to assist Native people. And so it's kind of an eclectic group of buildings that we have. And last year, some of our old partners who had helped us with maybe one or two of the buildings approached us and said, we want to help you put this into the future, and we're going to help you redesign it in a sustainable way. So they all got together, and we're fundraising, and we're also we also have a design for a place that's sustainable, and that is closer to Mother Nature, and that will take us into the future with our community work and our radio work and our social justice work and our youth development work. We're kind of a holistic organization. We look at problems that the community has here and try to solve them in some kind of creative way. So we do a lot of different things. And people would always say to Peggy and I, why do you do all these things? Can't you just do one thing? Can't you just give out food? And we're like, well, you can give out food, but then well, how do you go to school if you're not closed? And, you know, we go on and on and on because we do it kind of on an individual and community basis, what the needs are.
Right.
And it seemed to work pretty well, but we kind of go back and forth between what we're doing. We have a very small staff, and we just do what we can to make the world a better place, a more indigenous place, a more caring place, and we're just doing it in all different ways. Now we're going to look really cool. If anybody comes and visits us in about a year, we're going to look like a real organization. You know, buildings, but it doesn't really matter. We're still going to be doing the exact same things as we do now.
Yeah.
So we sort of up the spirit and whatever it is we're called to do that makes a difference, in particular for children and for the future of the Crow people and Native people.
Now, the last time I spoke with you ladies, you were starting a project of fermenting different foods and I think even fermenting the bison. Is that a project you're still working on, or did you complete that? What's going on with your fermenting foods and jarring them, I think you were going to do?
Well, the fermenting and jarring is part of our food sovereignty project. And we started about 4 years ago. We always did food sovereignty because here there's no food economy. And we're trying to build a Native foods economy. So we've always done things like you're describing, but we're doing it in a bigger way now. And
oh.
We'll have a seed bank and a greenhouse, and so we'll be able to grow all year, not just have vegetables for 2 months. Like in Montana, the winters are so severe,
yeah,
that you don't have any growing time. So yes, we're continuing to do that. That project will never end. We've drawn in a lot of people that do traditional foods in the community to be part of what we do here, because we now have a healthy foods cafe. And so we serve the foods that we get from community owners, community business owners. Go ahead.
No, I was writing down, you said you have a healthy foods cafe. I love that title.
Yeah.
Because when I was there, I remember you had a little cafe. But I love the term also food sovereignty. So do you consider the process of fermenting and jarring the foods as something that would go under sovereignty, like, you know, taking your power back on how you choose your foods, eat your foods, and grow your foods?
And if you don't have food, control of your own food, you can never be strong in any animal. Because that's the basis of life.
Yeah.
And so, and for here at Grow, it's bigger than just canning your food. It's growing your food. It's having control of your own land. Because maybe people have never had control of their own land. It's always been somebody doing it for them or someone who has, you know, more rights to it than them, even though it came down to them through their family. So it's getting those land rights back and then having citizens who are interested use that land to produce food.
Now, have you thought of, do you do any YouTube videos?
Not really. Not yet. We have our radio station.
Oh, okay.
Pro Voices 91.1 FM here. But if you go to our CoreVoices.org website, you can get it streamed to you. And it's mostly right now indigenous news from across the country. Plus, you know, our local broadcasts. We don't have as much food sovereignty on it as we would like, but we're working towards that.
Yeah, because I see that as a good YouTube channel, because not only can you make money, you would get, I think you'd get a lot of views on the title Food Sovereignty, because there are already a few videos like that, but I think coming from the Crow Reservation, teaching people about food sovereignty, about healthy foods, I think that's a great YouTube channel. I'm just thinking in my mind. And, you know, you get paid when you get more views. So maybe just something for you to think about. Because I've always thought about you doing it seems like I remember you were going to do some bison or a buffalo fermenting. Do you do that now, taking the buffalo meat and fermenting it and jarring it?
Like fermenting it, it's drying it, but same idea.
Drying it, right.
Preserving it. Because we do that every year.
Okay.
Make jerky, and we have people in the community that do things with the jerky. You can make pemmican by grinding it, and you can make meat powder, which in the olden days they would put the powder of corn or the powder of meat into their whatever recipes they were making. But if you could talk about the food, Peggy.
Oh, yeah. When you talk about sovereignty, it can mean a lot of things. And with food, it is like if you want to be sovereign in any way, you start growing your own, you start canning your own, you start preserving your own, and you start learning from the past, your ancestors, and see how they preserve it, and pick that up and use that. It isn't a hard thing to learn if your ancestors have done it. All you do is kind of call on them and remember. You know, I remember most of what I saw by the old people when I was young. And I saw, you know, my great aunt, who was my grandmother, because my mother was an orphan at a very young age. And so with that in mind, you got the whole thing is sovereignty means to me, as a Native woman, that I grow my food and practice eating it and practice producing it and teaching others. It's not for sale. It's like learning it and teaching my community so they can do it. And I never try to look at food as a money-earning thing because, and this is the reason why, food was the way they dominated us because they starved us, the government, and how they conquered us was to starve us, to put us in camps after the battle. cattle of the little bighorn and taken our land. They controlled us with food. They dominated us with food, and they conquered us with taking our life away, and that was through food. And today, with that in mind, and also being raised in a boarding school where I didn't get to eat my home, my mother's cooking or my grandma's cooking, which was food they grew or food they hunted, and food berries stayed dry to keep through the winter. So we eat all kinds of berries, a lot of stuff we get in the mountains or near the river, and we dry them and preserve them for the winters to come. So we always prepare for the winter in the summertime when you have all the sun to grow the food. So with that in mind, that's why I started the centerfold, because we needed that control. I needed to feel good. I needed to feel like I am doing something for the younger people, the children, the old people. And I wanted to do food, giving out food. And aloha, I don't like to use food there. We say aloha, meaning where we get something to eat or where there's food. We never use food bank because that's a foreign language to us. We say aloha because, remember, I'm from the Crowan art. We always use our first language. So to give and to help my community to have a better way of thinking, doing their processing in life, or trying to continue on into whatever they're going to do, is that I have food available for them here at the center. And that's how I was taught, because food was held back from us to control us and to dominate us and to take from us, you know?
Yeah.
Way back, food was used to trade their land with, you know, wheelbarrows of food were given to older people and that didn't know how to read and write, and they gave the land away to the strangers. You know, those are documents I've seen, and those are documents I've known. So that's why I started with food here at the center.
Awesome.
After food, I started with safetiness, because women, we were as a young when I was a young Indian woman, we were free game to the white ranchers and to the white farmers and to the white people, the non-Indian people, and we were never ever had our rights. We were always violated, not only young women, you know, men as well. So with all of this in mind, I had to start somewhere. So it was when food, once you have food in there, and then you have the safetiness, the next thing is home. Your home. We all have teepees to live in. And then the government gave us these houses that aren't very well made, and we had to pray for them.
I want to ask you about your boarding school experience, because I think it was Kwame sent me a video recently, and I was just really shocked at how many women couldn't even talk about that. But first, I know there. I had a brother who was going to give us a Lakota prayer before we got too much into our show, but I don't know his number. If you're in the studio, brother, press 1, the brother who's going to start us. Okay, here he is. Let me just pause here for a minute and let my brother say a prayer as we go forward, because there's so much that I want to talk about, and these are really hard issues that I want him to just give us a little prayer, a little spiritual energy. 605-924. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Ho, mitaki api le chantea wa stin api chuzapi yalo. I'm calling from the lands of the Cherokee in Marshall, North Carolina. How are you, Sister V? Good evening.
I'm doing well, and I can never pronounce your name. Can you pronounce your name for us?
Oh, are you talking about my Facebook name? Itazipcho Hokoju. Itazipcho are the, it's another name for them. It would be the Sans Ark Lakota, who I descend from.
Okay.
They were called Sans Ark.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So I know you said you could offer a prayer for us tonight. So we're going to have a prayer now, and then I think Brother Kwame's going to come on the end and also give us a prayer, so that we are really infusing this time with our Native American ancestral spirit that are going to help us move forward with more, like you're saying, Peggy and Susie, with more sovereignty and more spirituality and more mindful action for the community. So go ahead, brother, if you will, and give that prayer, and then we're going to have to go to a commercial.
Oh, huh. Tonkashila, atewa makoganake, takushka ska, atate atopanu, naunchimaka, ni ishnala ni wakhan nishnala wa unsila luka. Alea petu wo ablaza wo kaknige un yakup yu kanwopila un kini chiapelo. Taku yuha cha omayakie, he lila wopila tanka ichichia yu. Wana ioti e wakie cha unshi malayo. Ho, heche tuolo mitakuye oyasin.
Well, now, can you give us a translation of that?
Yeah, I can. Basically, in the beginning, I said Tonkashila, which is grandfather. Takushkashkan is something sacred and moving. And I addressed the four directions, because we're taught in our culture to always remember those four directions. So Tatea Topa. And then finally, in the end, who we all see, Unchimaka, grandmother. And I said, Ni Ishnala Ni Waka, you alone are sacred. Ni Ishnala Wa Unsila Luha, and you alone have compassion. Le Ampetukile, today, Wakahinige Unyahu, which means to open up, Unyahu, we open. So Wakahinige is like an awareness and an understanding. Yakup, to open. And for that, we thank you. So this is what the prayer was saying. And then I said, all of which you have helped us with, for that, we thank you. Now, as I enter into difficulty, please have compassion on me. And be it so, mitakuye oyasin. We're all related. We're all one. And that was the meaning behind the prayer.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I can just... I'm feeling the energy of unity, for one, that we can all come together in this common ancestry of our men and women who were born in this land and fought and died for this land. And yet we have this calamity going on right now in our country, where our government it's causing everyone to be at war about something like a vaccine or whatever. So I really appreciate that prayer bringing in the idea of unity, of honoring our mothers and our ancestors, and just bringing in the idea that we are all one. We're all brothers and sisters. We really do need to focus on the unity amongst the Native American people and those of us who connect, who have ancestors and grandparents who were in this land, that were born in this land, not born in Africa. I have relatives who were born here in America, not in Africa, but I also, this man, my dad's poster moved, but this man behind me, he's more of an African descent. So it's just time for us all to come together. And that's why I'm so glad that Peggy and Sue are here to bring us kind of a West Side, a Western influence in our country, but a truthful influence, whether it's sovereign food growing or on the other side of North Carolina, where we're learning to pray to our ancestors in a different way. So thank you so much, Brother. That was so awesome. We've got to go to a commercial break now. So we'll be right back. I'm going to open up. Naima Latif is our executive producer in the Female Solution studio tonight. So she's going to play some commercials, and then I want to come back to Peggy and Sue and talk a little bit about boarding school, because this video I watched, a lot of elderly women were very traumatized and couldn't even talk about it. But I know I've talked to Peggy about this, and I just don't remember her being too traumatized. So we're going to come back and just touch on that a little bit, if that's okay with you, Peggy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Naima Latif, your mic is open if you want to go ahead and play. And then we have some people.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
And we're back in Soul Purpose Healing Blog Talk Radio. And for some of you who may not know, we did a Blog Talk Radio show with Peggy and Sue several years ago. I don't even remember how many years ago, but we were doing a weekly show with these beautiful women, learning more about our Native American country in Montana and just all over, because I think you were even traveling around the country back. In fact, didn't you travel to like California or somewhere for a convention or something that you tuned in on the show for? So we really got to know these beautiful women a few years ago by doing a weekly show. And then I actually went to Montana and had the most amazing 5 days on the Crow at the center that I've ever had in my life. That was a life-changing experience for me. So I'll never forget it, and I'm so longing to go back again to experience that. So I'll be back, ladies, don't you worry. But I want to ask Peggy if she will, and then we're going to go to the phones. We've got at least three people who have pressed one who want to comment or ask questions. But after watching this video that was really kind of troubling, that all these women were actually in tears, and these were senior women who were talking, couldn't even barely talk about their boarding school experience. So I'd like to ask you, Peggy, if you will, to share with us what are some of the lessons you learned from that experience? Uh-oh, did I do something?
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. So if you want to go ahead and just share about your boarding, how you ended up in a boarding school, for one, and then what that experience was like, and then how do you look at it today, looking back?
I'll start. It goes way back. My mother was an orphan when she was 2 years old. And her mother died the birth of her younger brother. And then her father died a month after. So her brothers and sisters had to raise her, and they passed her around. And then she ended up in a boarding school. She stayed in boarding school until she was 18, and then she got out. And then she met my father, and from my father she had 8 children. And then from that, when my father died, I was 10 years old, and that was in that was back then. But and then after my father died, when I turned 10. My mother had 8 children. She had to support by herself. So she gave up some land, my dad's land, to the state of Montana, so the state of Montana could give her money to take care of us. So when that money ran out, she had to turn us over to either a Catholic boarding school or the Bureau of Indian Affairs boarding school. So I've been to two. At age 10, I went to a Catholic boarding school. After that, I went to the Bureau of Indian Affairs boarding school. And she had to give up her right to me. And she sent 4 of us away. And I went to... First, a Catholic in St. Xavier. I and my 2 younger brothers and my older brother. And then my then after that, after 11, I was sent to period school in South Dakota with Native children all around the United States, who did that. They could send them from reservations, different tribes from all over. So in that boarding school, we couldn't speak our language, our first language, but I was fortunate. I learned English by my father. He taught us English before. And so I knew the English language a little bit, so I understood English, but we couldn't speak Crow, so I knew how to speak English. There were some unfortunate children, some children the same age as me that didn't know English at all.
Right.
And it was not me because you're hit, like we'll get a big paddle behind us. Not even for a reason. We had to line up and take them. And if we cried, we get another one until we learn to hold the pain in our skin. And then also the food was not very good to me because I was raised in a family where we grew our own food, and it was really good food, the food they were given to us. I never knew what it was, they said, because it was mushy or it was awful. And I knew I had to eat it in the little girls and little boys' form. That was my job there. And I would go over and help them clean them up and help them feed them. I asked the caretaker there if I could sing in my language so I can comfort the baby, to sing to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They said, as long as you don't sing aloud. So I did that. And I would sing in my Crow language, but I made up my language words, and I was speaking to my parents, my mother at home, and my brothers and sisters, wherever they were, in my Crow language, and I would hum and say these words in Crow, the Crow words I knew, and have a conversation with them. My song and to my vision, although I was rocking the children. Some of the children look really weak. They look like they didn't want to thrive for life,
Yeah.
They were ready to go.
Right.
I felt that feeling. And it wasn't they didn't have enough to eat. It wasn't like they weren't taken care of. They needed that love and that nurturing from a woman or from a mother, and they never had that. And that was what was lacking there. And I felt that. So I would hold them tight, and I'll rock them and rub them, and then I had to leave. I only had a couple of hours to take care of these kids. But I always went to the weakest ones. And then in the evening sometimes, then I'll see this panel wagon going up on a hill. And I didn't know what it was until I figured it out the next day or the next time I'm over there to help. That child would be gone, that I knew wouldn't survive. And it was really painful at that time, being that age, and I wasn't allowed to cry. I wasn't allowed to shed a tear. So all of this stuff. myself was held inside of me. So it was like, and I knew it would be them because they'll tell me, well, we have to send them home. But I would see that wagon parked out there and leave from there to go to the end. It was like that at the time. And I had to learn rules. I really didn't understand because, you know, it was just not a very happy way to live.
Right. Dysfunction is one word.
And I was there for 4 years. And but in the summer, I got to come home for 1 month. And because she was my, I hated my mother when I couldn't, you know, my mother was a very cold woman. And I never knew she was that way until today, you know, now that I've gotten older. She wasn't, she couldn't really, mute her us kids, but my father was a loving father. I'll always remember him. But my mother was always a kind of a distant woman. But she would do her work really perfect. She'll do her, you know, what she maintained. So when I would come home, I won't talk to my mother because I thought I could work and I could stay, but I always had to go back. And I couldn't run. You know, what other relative is going to take me? We're all having a tough time. They're all having a tough time. Everyone was trying to survive on commodities. Everyone was always in line for the commodities. And they didn't understand the food or the food was, I saw a lot of starvation. I saw a lot of lacking of food everywhere and stuff. So I thought, well, I'll just go back. And I went back. I had to go back. There was no, you know, I couldn't stay. And then my mother turned to alcoholism. So I ended up there. And then, after that, I went to a bigger school in Stockholm, another boarding school, which was, I ran and ran, and finally they shipped me home. And I came home, and then I ended up graduating at another Catholic school, a suitcase school, once, you know, you could come home on weekends and stay there enough. Sister sort of raised me then, but at the age of 17, I finally made peace with my mother, and I asked her why, you know, she did this to us, and she wouldn't, we couldn't stay home with her, and, you know, that's when I heard her story, and she said, I didn't have food, and I was scared that I would see you guys starve, and then I would have to, you know, if I said we could have worked, but, and I had my dad's side of the relatives, but they were, my dad was 3/4 pro and a fourth pro, and he had more white blood in him than he did pro. His father came with the 7th Cavalry, and my great-grandfather came with the 7th Cavalry. So he had English. He spoke English, but he married my mother, and his family had nothing to do with them. So, but they were also owners of businesses around the reservation. But they never aided my mother when my father died, so I just had nothing to do with them. And it was like trying to make my own path and trying to be, you know, trying to follow the red road or trying to make it in a world of two, see into ways of love.
I remember
my father's way, my mother's way, and then like, so I was raised in a kind of like a way of, I took a little bit of both, and I struggled all the time because I was a lot darker than some of my family members. They were a little lighter, and they kind of made their move. So they were a little easier on them, but it was like I always had to fight for everything. And after 17, that's when I, 18, I went into the Sundance. My mother died at that time. And she died of a heart attack after she left the ball. And, then I went into the Sundance because I was lost. I didn't know whether to become careless and live a careless life or try to go on the road of the red road, meaning I would try to understand and try to be more, you know, more responsible for myself. So then I went into the Sundance, and that's where I went in since I was 18, and after, I don't know if it was the second, third, or fourth one, I saw a vision. And the vision was, I didn't know, it felt like it was real. I was in line, and there was all this fruit and food, full of a table full of food, and I was in line. And I looked at another, there were two lights. I looked at the other man he was holding. I said, who brought all this food we ate? And he touched my hand. And he said, you will know. You will find out later. And then I woke up and I couldn't really understand that, vision I saw. And then now I realize I'm doing that today, is giving out food. And Susie can tell me how many pounds of food we gave out.
Yeah, during COVID, we gave out 3 million pounds of food. And we did it with horse trailers and trucks and anything we could find. And we delivered all over the Crow and Northern Cheyenne Reservation.
I wanted.
We made hot lunches for people, and we served them at the cafe. People drove by and got their hot lunches, and we don't.
Okay, we're going in and out right now. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead. Now, I've lost something. Internet's going round and round right now. I want to ask you just one more thing, Peggy. About your great. I remember you saying something about your great grandmother. Was it? Who was very dark. You remember her? She was very dark skinned, and her husband was Irish, I believe. Is that right? Is that correct? I think we lost them. I'm going round and round. Oh, I lost the internet. So I'm going to open. I've lost the internet for a minute, so I'm going to have to connect again. I'm going to open up one of the mics here. Mama AZ, your mic's open, and I'm going to try and get Peggy and Susie back on. Let's see, entering the broadcast studio. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Yes, thanks. Wow. Dr. V, Grand Rising. How are you?
I'm doing well, and we've got Peggy and Sue back on the live Facebook Live. Mama AZ is now on speaker with Blog Talk Radio. So Mama AZ, say hello to Susie and Peggy.
This is just too much cool. Peggy, Susie, unbelievable. This is the number energy day six. and unbelievable. Peggy, do you guys remember when I first came? I came from Wounded Knee. I was on my way to Belknap to deliver a $10 package. And when I got to you, I fell out of the car and kissed the ground. Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you guys remember that?
She said she does. Did you hear her? She said, I do.
I didn't hear that. It reminds me because of what has happened today. And it just tickles me that you and Susie are on. It just solidifies what is unfolding with over here in Miracle Valley, Arizona. And that's I'm just grateful to hear you, Peggy. Thank us. And I want you to know, at the time when Peggy came into my life, somebody sent me to Peggy from the gift shop over there at the Bighorn, the Battlefield or someplace. And I was in trouble. I had third degree burns. I had a real bad burn on my inner thigh. And not only that, I was on oxycodone and a time. And I was just having issues. And Peggy's sweat family, I never will forget that. Peggy's sweat helped me to not to end up going to the Betty Ford Center. That's just how hooked I was. And this is a true story. And that, not only that, she did something in the sweat lodge and helped my burn. It was pretty bad. It was third degree. And I didn't want to go back to the emergency. But because of whatever Peggy did in that sweat lodge, even that burn started to heal with the quickness. And the medication, I got off. I got off. I never will forget that, Peggy. If it had not been for those sweats, we would not be here having this conversation today. Thank us. My friend is beeping in.
I'm having internet problems, so Peggy and Sue are going in and out. I'm going in and out. I don't know what she did.
I have to sign off. I'm going to raise my hand down, and okay. My friend is calling me. She's in the store getting me some food. I mean, some probiotic. I'll call
okay.
you. I'll raise my hand again. Thank us. Oh.
Thank you. I'm going to open up Kwame Sunhorse. Mike, Kwame, can you explain what a Sundance is? Peggy was, until Peggy comes back, my internet's going in and out, and I just got a message from Naima. Facebook is sounding a bit choppy and something you're whatever. Explain, until we get the internet back rolling on Facebook, can you explain what Sundance is? Because Peggy was talking a lot about her experience with Sundance, and she's going in and out with the internet. Are you there, Kwame? Check your mute. Are you on mute, Kwame?
Yeah, I was on mute.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Until we get Peggy,
right.
Peggy and Sue have, we've lost them for a minute, so I'm going to have to fill in the time with some other conversation.
All right, well, greetings, family, and greetings to Mom AZ. And when Peggy and Sue get back, I'll greet them. But what she's talking about is this, one of the seven sacred ceremonies. And to my brother Craig, and thank him for that prayer. Those are seven. There are seven sacred ceremonies in the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota nation, and they were given in order to help us stay connected. And the Sundance is one of the highest of ceremonies.
This is Kwame talking right now. Kwame Sunhorse. They're back, so you can say hi to them.
Greetings, Peggy and Sue. How are you both?
Oh, they're gone again. They're back again. Keep going. Keep going.
But that's one of the highest ceremonies. And what we do is at the Tree of Life. And the Tree of Life is a very sacred. That tree is taken. It's a willow tree. And it's taken and it's put up and it's decorated with prayer ties. And it has a thunderbird's nest. And all of that is because it's our way of connecting it to the creator, to Inamaka, Mother Earth. And it's one of the seven sacreds of the seven. And it's where the men sacrifice and pierce to make that sacrifice. Women don't pierce because they give birth. And it's a way in which the man sacrifices his flesh for the people. And this is what the ceremony entails. In doing that ceremony, we dance for 4 days with no food or water. And we come to the tree the four times of the day, sunrise, high noon, evening, and sunset. And we dance to the tree, and we offer our prayers that we're doing this for the people, for the community, for whatever it is that you feel that you're needing to make your sacrifice for. And so this is why she was sharing that. And then what she has to do before that is what's called humblecha. That's the other one, where you go out and you're put up on a hill for 4 days and three nights, and you cry for your vision. It's in our African way, it would be the young man's rites of passage, in that they have to go out in nature and experience one-on-one with nature and the creator. And having that vision gives you the vision of people go and do this Sundance. You have to do one every year before you come to Sundance, because that way you know what you're dancing for, what you're making the sacrifice for, and being there and being able to honor that ceremony with your prayers and your intention. So, I mean, that's the best
Peggy,
I can give. You can also... You can read... Can you hear me, Peggy?
Peggy and Sue, can you hear Kwame? I'm not sure if they're...
Well, people can get the book Sacred Pipe by Black Elk. And he tells all the seven, because it's the keeping of the spirit, keeping of the soul. And it's, what else? It's seven of them. A Nipe ceremony, Sundance, Humblecha, keeping of the soul, tossing of the ball. And the other two or three is for women, specifically for women. But the piercing at the tree is for the men. Humblecha is for men and women. Inipe is for men and women. And there's one specific is for just women to do. And so, but that is the book that you can get that would give you all seven of those ceremonies and what they all mean and what they were given to us for. That Sacred Pipe by Black Elk.
Okay, so I'm still having internet connection. So Facebook Live is not really working very well for me. I'm going in and out on Facebook. Yeah, I know.
You probably got too many things running, and that's probably why you don't have enough bandwidth to do it.
Well, what I'm going to do, okay, they're back. Peggy and Sue are back, but I think we need to go to a commercial. I'll wait for Naima. But I think Craig, did you press one again? Is that Craig? Your mic is
open. Yes, I did. Hello?
You have a comment. Go ahead.
Yep. Hello. Is the mic open?
Yes, it is. Your mic is open. This is Craig from North Carolina.
One of the last ceremonies, I think, that Kwame was trying to remember, because they're easy to forget, but it was the making of relatives and what we call hankagapi. Hankagapi, and I think another one is the wiping of the tears. And if
Ishnata,
I'm not mistaken, could be wiping of the tears. I'm not really sure, but I know the one you were missing
was...
The
sacred pipe, keeping of the soul, inipe purification, humblecha, the sun dance, the making of relatives.
Hankagapi.
Oh, marrying a girl for womanhood. That's the Ishnata Awi. That's that.
Yep,
and then tossing of the, throwing of the ball.
There it is.
Okay, so I'm going to open up my night. We have to go to another commercial. When we come back, I'd like to know the significance of these ceremonies for today. How can these ceremonies bring more balance to our family lives, our society, and especially our planet, because we are so out of balance? And so Naima Latif is going to play some commercials, and when we come back, I'd like to ask these brothers to break that down for us. How is it relevant for us to get out of this mess we're in today? So Naima, thank you for commercials. And
are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been a victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out, and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
So we've got Peggy back on the Facebook Live. So Peggy, I'm going to let you go first. And the brothers were breaking down Sundance and, oh no, here we go again, and all the ceremonies. And I'd like to ask you, Peggy, how can these bringing back these ceremonies help us to bring more balance to our society today that just seems so out of balance and so dysfunctional right now? Sue or Peggy, either one. Were you able to hear me? I don't know if they can hear me or not. They're ringing around. Okay. So go ahead. They're back off the internet. So Kwame, why don't you start with how can some of these ceremonies help us bring some balance back to our society that is so out of balance?
Okay, one of the sacred ceremonies is the Humblecha. I worked with the school. That was when the time when we was first talking with Peggy and about the teepees and all of that. But the school up in the Healing Lodge, I began to work with them in repairing the Zion, who was the taking women through rites and taking them through womanhood training. But I found and asked the question, well, what about, okay, you're repairing the women, but what about the broke men? They're going out into the community to deal. So we began to work with the men. And doing the rites program and doing the Nipe ceremony and doing the training for 9 months, the end result was is that they had to go on Humblecha. I took 10 men from 22 to 47 years old, and I put them all up on the hill. Each one came back saying that the Great Spirit and Mother Nature told them that they have to stop the generational curses. They have to break the generational curses that men were doing, absent fathers, abusing women, neglecting their responsibilities. So that was a thing that would show them that this showed you how to find that part of yourself that needing to be repaired. So that's one way in the seven sacreds. You know, experiencing, and Mama AZ and others that have done the Nipe ceremony. The Nipe ceremony is another way of cleansing and reconnecting you with the mental people and the four elements, because there were four things told that the European would come to America, they would bring a black book, there were four traumas. They would bring the mind changer, which is the drugs and alcohol. And so what we're seeing with the intergenerational traumas that I gave you with Don Coyas, and he was interviewing the elders that went through that traumatic at the Cargill schools and the other schools that they were sent to and stripped and beating and sexually abused, to where these kids came back to the res not knowing the language, not knowing the culture, and not even having the know-all how to be compassionate. All of that was beaten and destroyed and taken from them. And so this is why we see the situations of suicide, alcohol, the abuse that's going on there in First Nation reservation. We see the same thing happen with post-traumatic slave syndrome. So we're seeing two people here that was here on this Turtle Island that are now both been traumatized. But what is the thing that nature has given us and Creator has given us and our ancestors and Tekashilas have given us is our sacred ways. This is why I said we need the Overground Railroad to create the oasis, our ancestors' spirit and service in the land, and began to do the sacred ceremony. We, Mother Nature is a mother, and she will repair her children if we come to her. And we have to understand when we say in spiritual, we're saying ritual. Ritual is the most important thing in how we do what we do in our culture. We are not living our culture. We're living a totally different culture, and now we're into AI when we need to go back to the DI, which is the divine intelligence. That's going to save us because it's the women. It's the last thing in the prophecy says when the women stand up and sing, that's going to save us, and that's what women have to be able to do and do it in a way that's going to save us.
Okay, we got Peggy and Sue back for now. I'm just praying for this internet right now so hard. Peggy and Sue, were you able to hear Kwame Sunhorse?
We can hear you.
Could you hear Kwame a few minutes ago?
We missed part of it. We missed a lot of it.
Okay, well, let me give you an opportunity to speak while you're here, because this internet is crazy right now. What I was asking Kwame about is how are these sacred ceremonies relevant today? How can we and why should we incorporate these sacred ceremonies, the sun dance and some of the things you had shared? Why and how can we incorporate them in our society today to bring some balance to this very crazy society we're dwelling in right now? What's your opinion, Peggy and Sue?
Well, in anything you do, you have to go to your sources. In any religious ceremonial, you yourself individually has to go to your sources. And the first thing to do is try to understand what we're up against. And I recommend that you all write that. See the documentary called Doctrine of Discovery, and talk with Steve Newcomb, who is one of the ones who produced that film. The other one I would recommend for you to watch is Warrior Woman, and that is made by some Lakota women way back in when their land was put underwater, and how they survived to become these advocates for women. Children and their people. And there's all these different films and documents you can read or see. And then from there, start with community. Always start with community. And I can only take care of my community here, my little community here. And I this we're all we have to you have to decolonize yourself. Once you do that, you got to get rid of colonialization. After you get rid of that, then you can teach others. Then you can be. And to decolonize yourself is a hard thing to do, but you got to come from you and how you speak to people and what you say to people. Because colonialization has their language. And to disattach that, how do you do it? That's where you begin. And this doctrine of discovery has taught me a lot. And getting a whole walk, talking with Steve Newcomb, he is very, very, he's very knowledgeable. And, but I would start with that. Different beliefs, like on my, I can only talk about the crow. There is a lot of different beliefs on my reservation. Different, God is there, God is good. The Creator is there, the Creator is good. And there's all these different names for, like, the Creator, we call it a thought of death. And there's all these things, but
way of believing and a way of working it, they themselves will have to find it. And that's why I work with young people here. I can talk to them. I can show videos. I can show documentaries of different people. And I use the outside to come and talk about their experiences. And then I also use community to try to make sense of this. I don't know if I answered it because I'm searching for the same thing too. What can I do with my community? If we are high in drugs, it's high in drugs, and it's crazy. But I have elders, a lot of elders, and grandmas who are taking care of children, and a lot of young people, some young people who will want to go to higher education and who want to do things and stuff. So it's what you have to give.
Yes. And as you said, even in your community, there's a lot of division just based on religion and God. There's division about who God is, what God's name is. So, Craig, are you there? Are you still there, Craig, 605-924?
Yes, I am.
Your mic is open. I'd like to get your perspective from the community you're living in, North Carolina, because Peggy was just talking about the need to decolonize. What does that mean in your community? Or do you agree with her, first of all, how that has to be one of the focus to get us back in the balance in our society? And can you break that down for us, what that means, the work that's needed in your area?
I can't really speak for Madison County, which is where I reside, outside of Buncombe, which would be Asheville. And here it's kind of loose and everybody's moving in like different directions. You know, you got some people that'll go down to places as far away as South America to study up under ayahuasca masters. And then they'll come back here and do their thing. So there's no really definable community here to begin with, except within the Cherokee Nation, which is completely shut down right now. And I've only been here since January, so I really wouldn't know how to answer that question. I've been here before, and I can tell you I've been around a couple of different communities, and no two were alike. But the communities that I kind of, the circles that I traveled in, they all leaned towards what we call Lakowichoha, the Lakota life ways. One of the most profound things that I've ever seen were a group of women from Black Mountain, North Carolina, way, way past the age of childbearing years, went out to New Mexico to see Howard Badhand, and he took them through a young woman's rites of passage because it was something that they had never done, and it was very unorthodox, okay? But he was of the mind, and he had taken it into prayer to ask the powers up above for permission to go along with it, because these are people that had come into Lakota Lifeways, but with incomplete cycles. And I got a chance to like really speak to a couple of them. And they said they just wept. And they both said that they wish it was something that they had found when they were younger. You know, I remember an old cat telling me one time, when young children, when young adolescents have rites of passage, they begin to behave as young men and women. And, you know, to answer your question from earlier, I think therein lies the problem. You know, I come from the inner cities of New York myself. I can tell you right now, you know, and looking back at my own life, walking away from Sundance when I was 18, okay, I was supposed to Sundance in Pine Ridge, South Dakota in 1989, and I walked away from it, and I've been regretting it for a long time. But, you know, it came along exactly when it was supposed to. On the word humblechia, this is a compound word, going back to what Kwame was talking about the vision quest, what we call humblechia. This is a compound word. And the first half of the word is humb, from the word wo'i humble, meaning to be in a dreamlike state. And the second half of the word is cheye, meaning to cry. So humblechia literally means to cry for a vision. And I'm going to end there, and I'm going to mute my mic.
Okay, so Peggy and Sue, crying for a vision. I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you can elaborate on this, but it seems like you ladies have been crying for a vision for a while, and now it's manifesting. I remember being there and seeing all the composting you were doing, for one. And so many people don't even do that. It's like I've been living in this place, this ashram, for the last year and a half. And I've been encouraging my friend who lives upstairs to compost. She finds that so difficult to do. And she doesn't really have the vision, the crying for the vision. Do you think, Peggy and Sue, that the crying for the vision for you women started years ago, and now that you're doing it and you're seeing things manifest, that that's why you keep being motivated to keep going forward, that you're seeing your vision? Are you're seeing your vision that maybe that you've been crying for, praying for, working for all these years, and now you're starting to really see, with the help of, like you said, elders? You're starting to see that vision come to pass.
Well, the whole thing, and I kind of understand what you mean, but I only can say what I know. That's
yeah.
With you. Okay. You know what hysterical trauma is, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. tell us what that is. Tell us what that is in your mind.
If you can understand what historical trauma is, I have had it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can go 7 generations back.
Yeah.
I have my father's side and I have my mother's side. So I have my ancestors behind me. I know what my grandmothers were made up of. I know what they have gone through when they were in a lot of different kind of situations. I knew that. They had trauma back there.
Yeah.
Then my father, like, where he came from, I can't go back 7 generations on him. On my mother's side, I can. My father, I can't. I can only go 2 because he came from another country. He got on my great-grandfather back here, he got on a ship in Ireland to come to the United States to fight Indian wars. That's where he came from. And he joined the 7th Cavalry in Indiana. Okay? So I can only understand 2 parts of him, of my father's side. Now, my mother's side goes 7. I can try to go back further. I'm doing all of that. But in order to take that forward upon yourself, yes, I beg, I cry, I try to make sense of why this and that is going on in my life or the future of what I see in front of me. So therefore, I teach. My children are right here in front of me. My grandchildren. grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. The rest, I do not know. But I also have the ones to carry on my vision, to carry on. If you do, as a Native American woman myself, if you do not have a vision, and if you do not beg for a vision, or if you do not seek a vision, you'll never have one. Visions come in different ways of how you live your life, or what you've gone through in your life. That's where visions come from. You don't go, yeah, I went in. My belief is I give. I give and I receive. So when I give, it's under prayer. When I take my sweat under prayer, I do my Sundance under prayer. And when I receive the answers to them, I automatically know. And I have to have something to really do these, to really believe, to say, okay, I got to balance my life. I got to teach my children. What am I going to teach them to understand? I don't believe putting pipelines under the ground. I teach them about the sacredness of Mother Earth. That's where we get our good food. That's where we drink our good water. What is happening to our, look at our rivers. What is going on with them? Who has made that mess? Man. Who has polluted that? Man. Can man make water so we can drink and be healthy? No. Water, good water, comes from Mother Earth. Now, what do we do to protect that? Every day, I pray. Every day, I shed my tears. My land is being taken by the government, by the corporations, by people with money, greed. I see that every day. And how am I to be? How can I fit into your culture? What can I do to fit into the black culture? How can I fit into your culture? What can I do to fit in? You know?
Mm-hmm,
I
yeah.
can offer how you can fit into my... It's just respect, Mother.
Yes. So let me ask you this. We haven't talked much about this whole COVID situation. What is that like in the Crow and Center and in your area? The pressure from the president and all that. Are you being affected by that in the same way the rest of the country is?
We have been COVID victims all my entire life.
Right.
I've been a victim. It isn't any different. We were given smallpox blankets to kill us, to die. We've been given government-issued food that gave us high diabetes. We have not been fully equipped in our Indian Health Service so our babies can be healthy. Or so we can go and get medical attention. So all my life, I've always lived under that. I never was ever considered a U.S. citizen until the 50s, maybe? 1950. And I lived on a Crow reservation my whole life. My mother has. My parents, my great-grandmother, my great-grandmother, all COVID was here, yes. Now all of a sudden they pay attention to us, yes. But why couldn't they have paid attention to us before? Right now, during the COVID, I have lost a lot of loved ones. And I come from a small tribe. That's pretty scary. When you have to protect you.
Now, are they forcing vaccines in your community?
I have lived under those, still living under those
mandates. Do you have vaccine mandates?
Don't mean it.
Okay, we're gonna come back to you after our last break, and we'll talk a little bit more about the future for Crow Nation. Naima Latif, your mic's open for our last break.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Monday, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their Internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we're back. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We only have about 15 minutes left. I want to take this time to just do some meditation and breathing together. I believe we have two very powerful warrior women in the Facebook Live studio. So I'd like to ask them to join us in just sending out some meditation, some energy to help us all change and decolonize. In fact, Peggy, would you like to offer a prayer at this point? Before we even begin this meditation, would you like to offer us a prayer for to help us come into alignment with all the wisdom that you're bringing forth so that we can really start today, this day, with becoming more unified and more like-minded?
Yes, I will. I'll give a prayer in my first language. And I will pray for the children, the future.
Okay.
And also for and our elders and
okay.
the ancestor behind us.
Thank
we
you.
We all understand where we come from. We all understand what we're made of. And just to be decolonization, just to think of us as open-minded people, to let Apatitya listen to our prayer, listen to our asking. So I'm going to pray for all the children of the Crow Nation. I'm sure there's a lot of children out here that our children are now rushing to the hospital because of this dreadful disease that have come upon us. And I want to pray for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, that whatever it is, may the wind take it back and throw it across. And may the wind bring good ones back, health back, and wellness back. And I don't put my time into who brought it, who did it, who said what. I keep myself in prayer. I have to keep myself open. So I'm going to pray for them that whatever and however we can take care of each other, that we may be able to do that, but also to listen to our ancestors and what they have to say.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pray right for the well-being of us humans.
Let me just put a little music to that energy. Hey, let's just all stay in a very prayerful mode. I suppose. Listen to Lord God.
Born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing, I am. Born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing, I am. Born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing, I am. Born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing, I am. Born
Get ready for the sequel. Get ready for the glorious comeback of our people. Oh, yeah. Rise up, all you warriors of love, all you answers to the prayers of our ancestors from above. I can feel it in my heart. Can you feel it in your blood? I can hear the silent fire calling us to wake up, wake
all
up.
All nations rise. Rise up, 'cause now's your time. We don't have to hide anymore, 'cause now's the time. All nations rise, rise up, 'cause now's your time. We don't have to hide anymore, 'cause now's the time.
With forgiveness as my bow and my prayers as my arrows, pull them back and let go. I watch them fly like sparrows, have hope. Yeah, have hope.
With compassion
as my shield and faith down to my marrow, I will walk the pollen path even when it gets narrow. Yeah, yeah, I
resurrect. Yes, you can bet
that we seen the single mama raising children on the res. We seen domestic violence tear apart what we have left. We seen the alcohol take it all and leave us dead. We seen the children take their lives when they can't take the dread anymore. Can't take the dread anymore. No, we can't take the dread anymore. No, we can't take the dread anymore.
It's a war, but we've seen it all before. And now we know we can change it, 'cause that's why we were born. We know we are the ones that we have been waiting for. We are the ones Grandma has been praying for.
So rise up, all you warriors of love, all you answers to the prayers of our ancestors from above. I can feel it in my heart. Can you feel it in your blood? I can hear the seventh fire calling us to wake up.
Wake up.
Levántate, es nuestro tiempo. No tienes que esconderte más. Ahora es nuestro tiempo.
Mujer indígena, tú eres tan sagrada. Traigas medicina de tu suelo todavía, a pesar del abuso de tu cuerpo y tu tierra. Respetamos tus ancestros y la suya cultura.
Hombre indígena,
tú eres honorable y yo veo la fuerza que todavía sobrevive a pesar del abuso de tu raza venerable. Yo respeto tus ritos, tus danzas, tus padres.
Somos guerreros del amor y guerreros de la paz, sí, no vamos a escondernos más.
Somos guerreros del amor y guerreros de la paz, sí, no vamos a escondernos más.
They say that history is written by the victors, but how can there be a victor when the war isn't over? The battle has only just begun, and Creator is sending his very best warriors. And this time, it isn't Indians versus cowboys. No, this time, it is all the beautiful races of humanity together on the same side, and we are fighting to replace our fear with love. And this time, bullets, arrows, and cannonballs won't save us. The only weapons that are useful in this battle are the weapons of truth, faith, and compassion.
So I pray that that music was motivating, healing, and brought some peace to all of you tonight. That's one of the things that brought me out of my depression and my thoughts was the music in my life. So I'm going to really focus on that and promoting breathing. We all should be taking the time out to do some deep breathing and bringing in the life force of our Creator. So I've opened up the mic of Kwame and Craig. If you guys have any last words, you got about a minute. I'll give you a chance to say any words to Peggy and Sue, whatever, for about a minute. Go ahead. Kwame, your mic's open if you'd like to say any last words.
Go ahead, Greg. I'll let you go first. Yeah, you're on the mic. Yeah.
Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure hearing from the sisters up in Montana. Sister V, thank you for having me on. Peace and blessings and a lovely evening to all.
Thank us. I hope.
Lila Wopila Tanka. Lila Wopila Tanka Hecha.
All right. Go ahead, Kwame. Thank you, Greg.
Chachetu alo. Wakantanka Ochimala, Wichane Shankualo. Wake, Great Spirit, Tekashlas, I come to you. What a humble man here standing on this land stolen from the Muscogee Creek and honoring those women that have spoken from the Crow Nation, my brother who's spoken from the Lakota Nation, my sister there in Florida on stolen lands of the Seminole. So we all come to you as why Hanwi is rising in her fullness, and we're asking why he, Hanwi is the full, is the moon, we is the sun, and we are now here humbly asking you that we have spoken these words and said what is in our hearts, and this is the place that you have seated the will, and we ask that your will be done here on Enumaka, and we ask you too to give us the helpers, because you are the healer of us all. And you put into us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that we need. And we are looking at how do we save ourselves as a people, because the colonizer has come, and our elders told us that they would come and they would do this destruction. But you also told us that the women will stand one day and they will begin to sing. And we honor you that you have given us the foresight to see that these are the ways that we will rise up, as the song says, all the nations, because the Choctaw said that the children of Two Shields would stand again here on Turtle Island, the red and the black. And we would do not battle of physicalities, but battle of the spiritual. And these are the tools that we have been given from our ancestors and from our Tekashilas. And from you, Great Walking Tonka. And we ask you to be with us and guide us as this moon of the last part of this season of summer will rise and we'll begin to prepare for the Inamaka to sleep. But it's also the seeds that will germinate it in our hearts to show us the way. And we thank you for those that have put forth the energy and guide us and direct us, that we are weak, but we know that you are strong and you are in us all. So, aho, thank you.
Aho, and thank you so much, Peggy and Sue, for hanging in there with our internet difficulties and problems. It has been such a joy to hear your voices and to see your faces again. So I love you. We love you. Mwah, mwah.
Peggy,
I'm going to turn to Montana. Oh, Kwame has something to say. Go ahead.
Peggy, I was at the conference for Wellbriety, Don Coyas, and the wellness program, and there were people from your nation that were there as part of the program of recovery program that Don has started in bringing the spirituality of all nations to come together, and we gathered there in Colorado Springs for those 4 days, and it was an honor to see your people there helping and speaking of what they're doing there on the res and helping the recovery of those that are suffering from the substance abuse and those that are coming out of the iron houses. So I thank you, Peggy, for the pole space that you hold there, center pole that you hold there on Crow Reservation.
And thank you. Love you. And you'll have to come back again. This shouldn't be the last show anymore. We got to keep up with you ladies on all that you're doing. So we'll have an invitation to come out and see you, right?
Of course.
Thank you. Thank us. So don't forget tomorrow, Zelda, our host Zelda, Monday Morning Mindfulness, she'll have a show called Men Making a Difference on Monday. So thank you all. Please, everybody, have a beautiful week. It's a full moon tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, tomorrow's a full moon. Enjoy the moon. Get outside and take in that moon energy.
Right.
Woo, and let it transform you and heal you. Did you have one more comment?
No, I was saying it's tonight into, it starts from midnight into tonight.
Oh,
it,
okay.
It goes from the 19th to the 20th is the full moon. It's starting
wow.
tonight, and it goes into the 20th.
All right, then tonight.
Korea, Afghanistan.
Is
Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you.
And
all
may peace be upon
globe.
You and the mercy of God and God's blessing.
All of you. Right. And that moon's going to help tonight. Everybody get out and see the moon. Love you, Peggy and Suvi. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And hope to see you again real soon. Aho and shalom. Here we go.
Aho and shalom.
Thank you all. Have a beautiful week. Monday morning mindfulness in just a few hours.